The last two words on that screen said, be ready. My question to you is, are you ready? Are you ready? We live in a day and age of naysayers, people that criticize that, mock videos like that. And I know the Bible is more powerful than a video, but the Bible does say, mine eye affecteth mine heart. So I thought it'd be good to see something, stir our hearts, and then read from the scriptures, which is more important, about what is coming. I have news for you today. What you saw in that video is going to happen someday in this world. And most of that footage was real footage of earthquakes, tsunamis, and I've seen some of the damage that the tsunami can do when I was in the Philippines last year. I heard them discuss it and talk about it. Can you imagine several earthquakes hitting America at one time with several tornadoes, with several tsunamis hitting around the world, maybe in one day's time, how much it would change this world's landscape just like that. Just this weekend alone, this message is already done, prepared about a week and a half ago, and we saw tornadoes ravage America once again this week. And even people I know personally are living down in those areas in Alabama, and dozens of Americans have died this week even. We have to face the reality that there's something going on in this world. There's something going on in this world. And as much as the devil wants to distract us and blind our eyes and try to get us to see that there's nothing going on, we've got to see the scriptures. God says we're getting close. Now, there's some that would say the rapture's not going to happen for 5 years. Some would say 10 years. Some would say 20 years. I'll tell you when it's going to happen. Anytime. Anytime. To me, that's more urgent than a date. I was telling somebody this week, I was counseling somebody this week who's having to make a serious decision. I said, it's amazing how time can affect your decisions. I said, if I had to lose 30 pounds in 6 months, I wouldn't worry about starting tomorrow. But if I had to lose 30 pounds in 2 months, I'd probably feel led to start tomorrow. And that's what a lot of Christians have. We've been duped by the devil. The devil has deceived us into believing that the rapture is so far out there that we can just stay in our comfort zones and just coast. Now, if you're looking for that kind of a church, you're in the wrong church today. I don't want to make people mad on purpose or with the intent I didn't wake up. But at the same time, we need to face the reality that we're close, church. We're close. Our president has said some very negative things toward Benjamin Netanyahu in the last few days, threatening him, saying, I don't bluff. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mr. President. You better do what Benjamin Netanyahu encourages you to do and support Israel. Can I get an amen right there? There's supposed to be a video coming out this week that exposes our president's anti-Semitism, his anti-Israel stance. And I don't need to see the video for that. I've already known he's been guilty of that. And by the way, President Bush wasn't as good about Israel as he was the whole 8 years he was in office, too. So just in case you think I'm criticizing Obama alone, I'm concerned for all the Congress and their stance on Israel and the pressure they get from the United Nations. Now, let me start this message by saying simply this statement. I disagree with the statement that preachers and Christians have said through the years. I want to stay faithful till the day I die. I disagree with that statement. I want to stay faithful till he comes. That's a better statement. Let me explain to you why. If I die tomorrow, I want to still be faithful till he comes because I'm influencing my children to be faithful till he comes. I have an influence on 4 children and my wife. If God takes me home tomorrow, just because I died, that doesn't mean I have to quit pressing because they can press on for me because of my influence in their life. The teenagers in this church that I preach on, I want you to press on for me in case I die tomorrow. And that's how you should feel too. And let me just say real quickly, if you have parents in this church and you're a teenager, that's why you need to stay faithful. Quit disgracing your parents by your life. If you have godly parents that love the Lord and they're in church and they want to serve God, honor your parents by serving God today. Can I get an amen right there? I ought to get a whole lot more amens than that right there. Young people, honor your parents by serving God right now. Tired of the next generation disgracing their parents, breaking their parents' heart, living like a bunch of wicked people, living like the world. It's time we live different than the world today. Yeah, I said it. We need that in America today. We need the next generation to say, I'm not going to be drawn by the world and its desires. I'm not going to look like them. I'm not going to live like them. I'm not going to drink like them. I'm not going to eat what they eat. I'm not going to sleep where they sleep. I have parents that love me and they're in church today. I'm going to honor God by honoring my parents. That was free. I just had a good time with that one. I am not going to press till the day I die. I want to press till he comes. If that means if I live till the rapture happens or if I die tomorrow, I want to press till he comes. I tell my children several times, there's no highway option in our house. You serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. If the Muslims can do it, the Baptists can too. You serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. There's preachers in America today going around their communities and knocking on doors and taking polls and finding out what you want in a church. I took a poll the first day I came here. One person voted it was Jesus, and we have a church that Jesus wants, not what people want. What Jesus says and what Jesus wants is more important than what you or I want, sugar. Can I get an amen right there? So let me give you 3 reasons why we've got to press till. Number one, because the scriptures say so. The rapture is going to happen, and the Bible says so. That's enough. We could quit after that and be done. But I'm going to give you two more things. And first of all, the rapture is going to happen because the scriptures say so. John 14:3. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But John chapter 14, verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," which he has done. He's already done that. He's already gone. He's already ascended. That's what he's talking about. This was written and said before. Actually, this was said before he ascended. And guess what? He has gone. There's no if anymore in that verse. Amen. So if he will go and prepare a place for you, he will come and he will come again. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16. The Bible says this. It says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." I was amazed, Brother George. I was watching one of those videos yesterday on the rapture. And I already had the message ready, but I wanted to really get that video up. And I found it. And I was watching some other videos. And a statement was made by one of these people that are anti-rapture, anti-pre-trib. And they said, anybody that says the Bible mentions anything about Jesus coming back in the rapture, they're lying to you because there's nothing in the Bible about it. And I thought, my soul, what Bible are you reading, person? Whoever you are. It's all through the Bible. There's an urgency, especially in the New Testament. There's an urgency about Jesus coming back. I thought, what Bible are you reading, dopehead? Can I get an amen right there? But they're out there. They're going to criticize this. They're going to try to get you to... There's false prophets that are going to rise. There's false teachers that are going to try to tickle your ears. There's people that are going to scratch you on your back. And as you leave the church house, and God's not as urgent to us anymore, you can live like you want. You can do what you want. You can shack up and fornicate. You can live all that lifestyle. It's no urgency. There's no urgency. All this stuff is just natural. We don't have any more earthquakes and tornadoes than we've had in history. Look it up. By 100-fold now we have more earthquakes and tornadoes around the world than we have 56 years ago. Look it up. Research it. Study it. Don't try to take my word for it. Go, I challenge you. Look it up. Look at how crime has risen. You say, well, the divorce rate's going down. Of course it is, because everybody's shacking up nowadays. You can't divorce if you never got married in the first place. Shacking up, fornication, teenagers losing their purity. Can I still preach out here at Bible Church? Well, I know it's 2012. It's time to change, preacher, and everything. You're not going to draw a crowd. I'm not here to draw a crowd. I'm here to stand for the truth. Y'all okay? All right. Verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Amen. He's not going to come quiet. I just don't like all that shouting and everything. Well, you're going to have a hard time when Jesus shouts. "With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's a guarantee. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And by the way, verse 18 says this, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Hey, I can encourage you today and comfort you, telling you that Jesus is coming someday. Hold the fort. Be faithful till he comes. He is coming back. He has not forgotten us. Hey, he has not forgotten us. By the way, he was forsaken and forgotten for 3 days, but praise God he rose from the dead. He promised he would never leave us or forsake us. He knows when he's coming back, and he's coming back anytime. So hold the fort, be faithful, keep that smile on your face, thank God you're saved, and be ready because he could come back anytime. Now, let me just say this real quickly also. You say, "Oh, preacher, why are you so sure about it?" Because God has never, never, never not kept his word. Three nevers and a not in there for emphasis on the negative and the verse. He's never not kept his word. Everything God prophesied 300 things about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and over 300 prophecies were all fulfilled when Jesus was born. I mean, Jesus Christ fulfilled all those prophecies. If God says something in this book, mark it down, take it to the bank, you can stock it. It's going to count. You can count on that, amen. I mean, I was thinking about the nation of Israel alone and how preachers have preached for years that they've always believed that Jesus could come back any time. But boy, even more so now, if you look at how Israel's going to be scattered abroad and they're going to come home again and they're going to become a nation, that's happening right now. Israel, Jews by 1,000 a day in America are leaving America to go to Israel right now. Did you know there's a program even called Sponsored Jew Back to Israel? 1,000 Jews a day are moving back to Israel right now from the United States of America. Preacher friend of mine was sitting in an airport and sitting next to a Jew and very wealthy, successful businessman in New York City. And he looked at my preacher friend and said, "That's just weird. I woke up one morning and decided to sell my business and I just want to go back to my homeland. I can't explain it." And my preacher friend said, "I can." And he about had a spell. He said, "Whoa, glory to God. I know why he's going home. Because the Bible said they would all come home." They're going back to Israel to get ready for that big war and especially for the King of Kings to sit on that throne in Jerusalem, which he will someday. He will someday. And he will. Number one, the scriptures say so. Israel, prophecies, all those things. Number two, signs of the time. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 3. Let me walk you through this passage a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let me read you these verses, and this is the Bible. Are we not reading the Bible today? Did I already say, teenagers and young people, we ought to live and honor our parents and honor God? Did I already say that today? I'm not sure if I said that yet. Let me just make sure I say that again. Young people, live and honor God by honoring your parents. Man, there's just so much pressure in the world. We're facing the same pressure as you are. You can make it. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Verse number 1, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And let me just say, I know a lot of preachers preach that Paul was looking for his return. I don't think Paul was. Paul knew Jesus wasn't coming back in his day. He wrote all these verses, but he knew there was going to come a day of perilous times. And he says it right here. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. Look at verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. See, what's that verse talking about? The church. You're offended at something right now, you love yourself more than Jesus. Two amens. If you're offended at something right now, you love yourself more than Jesus. So what do you say, preacher? Get over it. They're lovers. It's just the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. Men love themselves. You know why suicide's so hot? Suicide is the ultimate expression of loving yourself. It's selfishness to take your own life. Lovers of their own selves. You ready? The list gets pretty nasty here. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. You hear about the crimes over a pair of Air Jordans going on in America? I want that pair of shoes, bless God. You better. Black Friday. I'm going to hurt you if you get that TV before I get it. I want that TV. I want that TV. By the way, those aren't 2 and 3 year olds in Walmart fighting for shoes and TVs. They're adults. And guess who's watching at home, the 2 and 3 year olds, when they come home and tell a story? I knocked out some 90-year-old grandpa to get my new 32-inch, 47, whatever-inch TV. The kids are like, wow, we got what we wanted. If you want it, you go get it. Covetous, that's what covetous means. Which a lot of times it means wanting something you shouldn't have. We'll be all right with a 30-inch TV instead of a 50-inch TV. Y'all okay with that? Boasters, look at me. Look how good I am. Look how wonderful I am. You heard that some in the politician speech lately? I would vote for the man who would quote George Washington and Thomas Jefferson every time he was in a debate instead of saying, look what I did in my state and look what I did. Puke. Quit bragging on yourself. Bible says, let another man's lips praise you. Proud. I think I preached on that when I got back from the Philippines. The biggest problem with America, the biggest difference between Philippines and America, pride. We're so proud of our homes. You want to come see my home and my car and my clothes and my vest. I'm so proud of my vest today. I'm so proud of my hairstyle. We're vain in America. We've taught 14-year-old girls they got to look a certain way and they got to primp and proper in front of a mirror for 35 minutes. You know what most teenage girls are worried about in this world? Getting something to eat today. I'm not against you looking decent, but when a teenage girl spends more time trying to make herself look good for some teenage boy to impress him than she does in the Bible and prayer, there's something wrong with that teenage girl. We got bathroom women in my house. You say, you're mean. Thank you for the compliment. Blasphemers. Bill Maher. Well, a conservative can't say anything. Bill Maher said, if you all want to believe, he's the host of an HBO show which no Christian that's saved should ever watch. He said, if you want to believe in a Palestinian that walked in water and did magic tricks, you're dumb. Blaspheming Jesus Christ. Making movies like Jesus and his 12 disciples were all a bunch of sodomite lovers. Blasphemers. Lying and mocking Jesus. Blasphemers when they take the Lord's name in vain. Talk about Jesus not in a way that's appropriate in honoring him. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Sorry, the record gets stuck there every once in a while when I read that verse. And teenagers, the record is a big black CD. Had a needle that went on it, you know, it'd go round and round, and it would stick sometimes. Did it, and it'd say it over and over. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. I was in the Philippines. I told you the story. 22-year-old young man, good basketball player. We played on the same team. He was at every service I preached at. Great guy came to me, goes, Pastor Randy, I was watching a Hollywood movie, and I watched these teenagers back talk to their parents. They don't really talk to their parents that way in America, do they? What was I supposed to say? I couldn't lie. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, they do that on a regular basis in America today. You better not in this church. They do it all the time in America. And he goes, oh, I'm 22 years old, and I would never talk back to my parents. 22 years old, he's out of the house, he's an adult, but he still wouldn't talk back to his parents. Get off my case, Dad! Get off my case, Mom! Well, they need to be on your case, because you ain't doing right. You ought to thank God someone cares enough to be on your case. Everybody okay? Just making sure we're okay. Disobedient to parents. Have I read that yet? Unthankful. Unthankful. Used to be, give me liberty or give me death. Then the hippies came in and said, give me liberty and give me a joint. Now it's just give me. Unthankful. Our kids have more toys in one play bin than most cities have in this world. Y'all follow me? And many of you have not been out of this country, so trust your picture. I've been there. I've seen what they don't have. I'm planning a trip to Ecuador with my family in the next few months, hopefully. I've been talking to my kids already. My son and baby, my four-year-old daughter already said, Daddy, I'm going to pack up almost as many toys as I can and take and give away. I said, good. Christmas, we get all these toys, get all this junk, and then we put it out in the yard sale in May. It's amazing. We're just not grateful anymore and don't appreciate what. Hey, instead of wanting what you don't have, once you want what you have, you might have revival. Instead of wanting a different house, want the house you live in right now, and you might have a different spirit about your life. Instead of wanting a different car, want the car you have right now. Instead of wanting a different wife, want the wife you have right now, you might have revival. Unthankful. Unholy. Oh, my goodness. I could spend a series on that for many Sundays. Oh, here we go. Look at the next phrase. Without natural affection. Boy, burn them sodomites. Hold on a second. Sodomites are wicked. I found out yesterday. I didn't even know this. I don't know how I missed this. I found out yesterday Ellen DeGeneres is the sponsor now for JCPenney. I called JCPenney as soon as I found that out and told them I'm not going to give them a penny anymore until they get rid of that woman, and I'm going to announce it at my church the next Sunday, so I'm doing what I'm doing. I ain't shopping at JCPenney's when they're going to have a woman like that representing them. Lesbian, sodomite crowd. By the way, they're only 3% of America. Why are we so afraid of them? God help us. But let me just say this. Fornicating, shacking up crowd, you're just as wicked as that sodomite crowd. Shacking up, living together, perverted in American society, pornography everywhere. You can access on your phone, on your iPads, on your internet. Unbelievable how many Christians and preachers don't have filters on there. Not even worried about it. There's so much temptation of wickedness out there, nudity out there. Unholy! God commands us to still be holy today. Signs of the time. I'm just reading it to you. Without natural affection, I said, false accusers. Oh, my. That goes on in politics all the time. Incontinent, no self-control or discipline. We're raising a bunch of animals in America today. We don't teach children self-control and discipline anymore. From the church house to the restaurant to their house to school, teachers say they're tired of babysitting. They can't even teach them because they got to babysit kids all day long. We pop them full of pills. They don't need pills in America. They, like I say to people before, my daddy didn't believe in Ritalin. He believed in a red rear end. Can I get an amen right there? That's why I'm still swollen back there to this day, man. Fierce. Fierce road rage. Fierce. Killing somebody just because they got mad. A week ago, a husband killed his wife over a board game. I mean, come on. He lost a board game to his wife, so he killed her. Fierce. America. Despisers of those that are good. There might be some even right here already. You're despising me because I'm preaching good stuff right here. By the way, hold on a second. Good stuff, preacher. That is good stuff right there. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Traitors. Where do they live? In the White House and in Congress. Traitors. Traitors. Betraying our country. Traitors. Traitors. Heady. That's America. What? High-minded. They kind of go together. Their head is above everybody else. I drive a nicer car than you. You want a cookie? You drive a nicer car. You want a cookie? Does that make you feel better? Do you just tell me you drive a nicer car than me? You want a cookie? High-minded. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. Watch out for cliques in churches today. Dangerous. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Basketball activities. Teen activities, we ought to have all pleasure, 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 pleasure. Got to make sure we entertain people. Pleasure. Boy, you come to church, heart for God offering. You know, that church does ask for money. We don't ask for church money half as much as most churches do. Trust me, I've been in them churches. They ask for money. Why do they do that? But I've never seen people complain when they go to Disney World or Six Flags or the St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, pay $20 for parking, pay $7 for a hot dog, which is a bunch of byproducts, a bunch of cow guts and a little piece of skin, eating that with enough mustard relish, with a big old soda pop that costs $6 for Coke. Man, every time I go to the place, I ask for no ice because that's about the only way you can get something to drink. And then the tickets on top of that. And then you got to buy your paraphernalia so you can show them you're a Cardinals fan. Oh, that's fine. $100, $200. That's reasonable. Church, oh, I ain't going to get that much. You know what I love about this? It doesn't say lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the church. It says lovers of God. You love God, God will get your billfold and your heart. You all right? I'm all right. We're almost through. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Playing church. Listen up now. Listen up. Playing church. That's America today. Millions and millions of people are sitting in church today and don't even know the first clue about the power of God. They don't even know what power of God tastes like or looks like in America anymore. That's America today. And I'm talking about our Baptist churches in America. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins and weighed with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm almost through. Let's go to John chapter 3. Let me just share with you a couple things that just somebody has to say something about. I know I don't have the microphone that some of these influential people do, but everybody's afraid to touch on it. But can I just say this? It bothered me that America went so crazy over Whitney Houston's death. Did you know in the month of February over 24 of our soldiers died? And most people did not even know about that. But you were forced to pay attention to Whitney Houston's death. I feel bad for the lady. By the way, she started out singing in a choir in a Baptist church. The media ruined her, which it does a lot of people. Did you know she made $100 million in her career and died broke? She lost everything. What a tragic story. And yet we're forced to look at that as some kind of a hero while our soldiers lay in Afghanistan right now, hoping to make it through a day. I called one of my friends the other day who I've preached with before. He's a preacher. Made a mistake, had to get out of the ministry, so he joined the army. I admire that. Just got back from Afghanistan. He was there for 13 months. I got to talk to him and thank him for serving our country. Those guys are more of a hero. Who cares what Lindsay Lohan's issues are? Britney Spears. I'm sick of that. Why don't they talk about our soldiers in America today? They try to force that down our throat and make us have to listen to all that junk all the time. Our real heroes are the soldiers. When I landed in Atlanta, Georgia last Friday, I picked up a USA Today at my hotel room and I opened up and the back page, full page ad said, Muhammad Ali's turning 70 years old. And here's what the actual quote said on the back of the page. It made me so mad. Imagine what America would be like if we did not have Muhammad Ali for 70 years. I said we'd be a whole lot better off place, in my opinion. Muhammad Ali defied our draft, cussed our country, became a Muslim, was the biggest trash-talking, fornicating person. I think we'd be okay without Muhammad Ali. I think we'd be okay without Muhammad Ali. We just put so much stock in these people. They're stars. I love God's sense of humor. The Hollywood stars, they put them on the sidewalk and then people walk on them all day long. Isn't that a blessing? Somebody's got to say it like it is. Now, after all that being said, what are you going to close with, preacher? Number one, I said the scriptures say the rapture's coming. Number two, signs in the time say the raptures are coming. Scripture signs. Number three, it's time to get saved. Salvation. I'm done. John chapter 3, verse 1. Some of you saw that video footage a little while ago. Those floods and all that stuff. It's going to happen in this country. It's going to happen around the whole world. The Bible says so. Go home today. You can read all 22 chapters of the book of Revelation in less than an hour and a half. Maybe even less than an hour if you're one of the fast readers. Read through that and let it shake you up. The Bible talks about one third of the world dying in one day. The Bible talks about a 200 million man army which is already in existence in China right now. The Bible talks about earthquakes and famine, and it talks about the sun and the moon even changing and discoloring, and it talks about society being totally turned upside down. All those things are predicted in the Bible. Now they're making videos about it. Even Hollywood's making movies about this subject. It's sad that many Hollywood people believe it more than the average Christian in America today. I've got news for you today. The rapture is coming. Are you ready? John 3, Jesus said in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is God of this world, whether you want to admit it or not, but he's not everybody's father. He can't become your father until you have a spiritual birthday. Everybody in this room under the sound of my voice and on radio land, you have at least one birthday today. But my question to you today is this: do you have a second birthday? Have you been spiritually born? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you repented? I don't care if you claim baptism. I don't care if you claim church membership. I don't care about all your good works. All that stuff's nice, fine, good and dandy. Put those aside. My question to you today, sir, is there a time in your life where you could stand up and say, "Jesus Christ became my personal Savior. I know that for sure. Thank God Paige got that taken care of this past Wednesday night." Do you have a story I can tell you today? That's what it's all about. You want to make sure you don't go through what we saw in that video? Make sure Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Once you've got that settled, "Preacher, I'm saved. Thank God." Then it's time to tell people about this Jesus that still saves. We've got the public school revival coming up, Missions Jubilee coming up. Opportunities to go out and go soul winning and witness to people. Somebody's got to tell this world Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready?